welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today I have two very special guests on the program, Victor Volkman and Irene Watson. They are co-editors of the new book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers. They're here today, and they are going to be talking a little bit about this book and their internet radio show, Authors Access, which this book is loosely based on. So Victor Volkman began his writing career in the late 1980s, writing for the computer programming journals, and founded Loving Healing Press in 2003. He has published dozens of cutting-edge books that promote the mission of redefining what is possible for healing mind and spirit. He has produced a series of books on traumatic incident reduction, as well as empowering other authors in a wide range of helping areas such as trauma recovery, self-esteem, physical disabilities, and sexual abuse recovery. Victor has produced and edited more than 200 podcasts for Authors Access and a variety of other literary shows. In 2007, Loving Healing Press spun off a new imprint, Modern History Press, which is dedicated to empowering authors to speak about surviving conflict and seeking identity in modern times. When not publishing, Victor enjoys spending time with his author wife, Marion Volkman, and his personal website is lovinghealing.com. Now, Irene Watson is an author, entrepreneur, and former therapist and educator. She currently is the owner and managing editor of Reader Views, Reader Views Kids, and Inside Scoop Live, and she's a co-host on Authors Access. Irene holds her master's degree from Regis University in Denver, Colorado, and a bachelor's degree from St. Edward's University in Austin, Texas. She is the president of Higher Power Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to awarding scholarships to people seeking recovery. Irene's expertise in the publishing industry comes from being an author herself, as well as managing her online book review publicity service, Reader Views. Irene also coaches authors in writing book proposals, and she's a literary agent. She lives with her husband in Austin, Texas, and her memoir, The Sitting Swing, Finding Wisdom to Know the Difference, is currently in its second edition. And her website is readerviews.com. So that said, I want to welcome you both to the show.
Thanks, Juanita. It's great to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Good, Victor. Nice to talk with you. Okay, so from really what I understand, the two of you have been working together for about 3 years. Is that true?
Yes, we have, not on Authors Access, but being aware of our review service, and Victor is a publisher, he has been working with us and, you know, for us providing reviews and publicity. However, we started Authors Access about 2 years ago, and we co-host that, and so we've been working together on Authors Access for the last 2 years.
Well, what was the original vision for Authors Access? How did that collaboration start?
Basically, to give authors, specifically new authors, writers that want to become authors, and also publishers, just some inside information from experts. And so what we do is we interview a variety of experts from anything to do with editing and publishing and writing and websites and social media, anything to do with promotion, you know, basically anything to do with the book, period. And we just ask these experts all for their information, and they share it with us.
Now, have most of the authors written their own books as well?
Yes, pretty much. Mm-hmm. They're either our authors or else they're in the publishing industry.
Okay. Victor, why don't you tell us a little bit about this book and how the idea for this book actually came about?
I do a lot of coaching of my authors because for most of them it's their first book, and they really don't understand the process, and they have a lot of assumptions. They see successful authors like Stephen King or something, and they think that they can, you know, model how things work based on that. So part of the purpose is to clear up misconceptions about the role of the author in the marketing of their book and promotion of their book, and basically training the author in what it's going to take for them to be successful. And I was starting to sound like a broken record because every month I would take on one or two new authors, and we had to start from ground zero. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, maybe we can get this down once, get it right, and we'll have a resource for those people who are interested in getting the most out of their work.
So now these aren't, from what I understand, these aren't actual transcripts from the show, but they are different segments that are written by guests that have been on the show? Is that am I correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes, we ask them to elaborate and provide their information in more of a tutorial or reference style rather than the sort of freewheeling question and answer, which kind of wanders all over the place. This gives them a chance to provide information in a more compact, more accessible way for those people who like to absorb things by reading.
And then I know you also have a podcast CD that's available with it. How is that available?
That's correct. Because the book is produced by print on demand, the only way to get the CD is to buy it directly from our website at authorsaccess.com. But because of that reason, we throw in the podcast for no extra charge. The CD comes with a sleeve in the back of the book. You can pop it into your notebook when you're on an airplane or a train or any sort of commuting environment where you can't get to the internet, and then you've got immediately 40 hours of nonstop information at your fingertips.
Mm. Oh, I want to add to this, too, that the CD actually has, I believe, it's 75 interviews on it where all these experts are not in the book, so there's a lot more on the CD than there is in the book.
And there's only, I think there's 20 or 30 writings by authors in the book?
Well, we have 24 people contributing a total of 30 articles.
30 articles,
no,
oh, okay. Okay, so some of them wrote a few.
Yeah.
So what is the range of content that we're looking at here then?
Well, gosh, we just have everything from beginning writing. For instance, in our first chapter, Mark David Garrison talks about the myth of the writer's block, and many potential authors do get writer's blocks. They get stuck and can't go any further. He gives a lot of good tips on how to get past that. You know, the craft of writing is what chapter one is called, and several other authors have contributed their expertise into that area. We also have, let's say, genre writing. We talk about children's books. We talk about editing. We have a couple of experts that are actual editors that share their tips and experiences. And we talk about book designing, the marketing, book reviews. We talk about social media, audiobooks. It's just a whole gamut, right from actually the beginning of writing the book to the publishing to what do you do after.
And these are all of the areas that typically a first-time author, it sounds to me, they are going to want this kind of information. This is what's going to come up for them.
Exactly. And not only that, the experts that contributed to this book also, we have their information in the book so that if a prospective author would like to contact the expert, they can do that.
Oh, that's great. A lot of resources then in this book.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it's not only information, but also there's contact to the expert, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting because there's so much information out there for a first-time author or a want-to-be author, and at the same time, there's so much information out there that's conflicting, and it's very confusing. So I'm wondering why that is, why there's so much conflicting advice in the industry, and if it's that the industry is changing so rapidly.
Well, I think that you're right, Juanita. The changing of the industry is very rapid. And, in fact, Victor and I were just talking about that before we were talking to you, that, you know, there are still some people that are stuck in what was happening 30 years ago. And they're experts, and they're still trying to advise people now and what was happening 30 years ago. But in reality, what was happening a week ago is not even current today. So things are happening very quickly, and I think that that is one of the reasons that there are so many different opinions. And also, we're humans. We all think that we're right. And really, with so much information out there, the potential writer or the author or the publisher really just needs to do a lot of research. And basically what my bottom line is, what works for you, what feels right for you, and that's the direction to go into.
Mm-hmm. When do you suggest a first-time author starts thinking about these aspects of the whole industry? I mean, it seems to me that most people that have the dream of writing a book, they just get down to the point of writing, you know, and they're not thinking about promoting and marketing and cover design and all of that. Editor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's just one of the things that happens. There are so many people that do write the book first and then get it published and then think, oh gosh, you know, what am I going to do now? In reality, all these things should be thought about prior to having the book published. If you're a self-publisher or even looking for a traditional publisher, have a platform, have a brand. What direction are you going to? Have a marketing plan. All these things are so important. They're even more important than actual writing of the book because there has to be a direction. Where are you taking this book? Who are you writing it for? What personas are you writing it for? Many times we find that authors will write a book and have it published, and then maybe possibly the reviews are not coming in very raving, and they're wondering why. Well, one of the reasons could be because there are editing issues, and that's something that many, particularly self-publishers, don't spend the time and effort into having it edited properly. The other thing is they may have not written it for the general audience. They may have only written it for what they like to read. Well, that's only a small percentage. They don't write for all of the personas. And so there's just so many things that their research needs to be done for before the book is written. And Victor, maybe you can add to that too, being a publisher.
Yeah, I agree with all your points. I'd just like to, from my nonfiction point of view, the experts will say you should start with the value proposition. What is it that you're trying to make available to the reader? And then build your plan around that. From that, it should lead you to, you know, a title that really ties in with the solution that your book is going to be for the reader. And then from that, naturally breaks down into, okay, what are the steps I need to fulfill that? And those steps become chapters. And if you look at it from a top-down point of view, you can actually have the book almost write itself if you have the vision in place.
Mm. Now, what happens when we have bad book design or there are grammar or editing problems or formatting problems? I mean, it seems to me that just basically, you know, you're not going to build confidence in your reader putting out books like that.
Oh, absolutely. The editing and the formatting are just critical elements, no matter what your message is. And if you fall down on those, like you make your text on the page too dense, people won't like the book, and they may not even be able to articulate why it is. It rubs them the wrong way. There's a particular look of a book that we all grew up on, and it makes us feel comfortable and like we know what's going on. But if we see a book that's oddly formatted and there's a boldface word on every line of the text, it just screams, I'm not really a serious book.
Mm. How important is it for an author to get a second opinion all along the way in all of these steps?
It's good to have a focus group of people that are interested in what you're producing, and they can bring you back down to earth, and they can ground you, or maybe survive. Well, you'd want a therapist, you'd want to bring in other survivors that have gone through the trauma, and people in the general public who aren't experts about the subject, so that you can have a sounding board of people to validate your approach. Otherwise, you know, you're kind of driving without a compass.
Mm-hmm. So what part of marketing, then, is the author really responsible for?
Right. If you want to be successful, then you should take on 100% of the responsibility in making sure that your message gets out. If you look at the way publishers work, even a small press is producing maybe 10 to 15 titles per year. I mean, that gives us a window of maybe 3 to 4 weeks where we can really concentrate on the message from your book, and the rest of the year you have to cause things to happen. And it doesn't mean spending a lot of money. Marketing isn't buying ads in the New York Times or things like that. We're talking about getting on Blog Talk radio shows, researching media that are interested in the message that you're purveying, and just building your subscriber list of people that are interested in you and read your monthly newsletter and so on. All of these things cost very little, but the effort that you put into them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
going to add to this, too, that in this book, the 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, Victor actually does have a segment in here that he titles 12 Things Under $10 You Can Do, and this is under the marketing section.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's timely, you know, with the economic climate that we're in right now. I mean, people are going to want to know if it's even possible to market a book on a budget.
Exactly.
Right. I helped one of my authors, Alan Smith, who wrote a book about an encyclopedia of alternative health, helped him set up a weekly podcast, and every week he's interviewing experts in alternative health field in a little 20-minute format, and basically it costs nothing to produce, and it's his website traffic has gone through the roof because he's finding other ways to get the message out and attract people to his platform.
Amazing. You know, the internet is incredible. So let's talk a little bit about new technology. Has it made it easier for authors, or just more confusing with too many outlets?
Well, I think that it's probably both. It could be confusing, and it's, of course, it helps to sell the book too. And the confusion part is on lack of knowledge. But there's also so much information out there that with the author, if they want to spend the time and the effort to do a lot of research and to find out what is really available, it's out there. And it actually becomes really simple. Things like social media, MySpace, you know, there's just so many different places that the authors can go to, can get well known, and start building a platform, get themselves out into the public, let people know that they are an author, what their expertise is, what they've written. And it's out there. It's an industry that's moving extremely fast, but that's the way it is. And also with the technology, there's e-books. You know, there's Amazon Kindle, and there are different audiobooks. And the technology is just out there. So, and maybe, Victor, you can add more to this, too.
Yeah, specifically, I'd like to add things like content management systems. And these are things like WordPress and Joomla, where you can basically build an entire community for people to interact around your area of interest. Maybe your area of interest is, you know, who knows, Middle Eastern cooking. You can create a Joomla site which has forums with bulletin boards where people can talk. You can have them post articles, which maybe in this case would be their favorite recipes and so on. And you can just continually build up a bigger community that's based around your message. And it doesn't have to be, you know, all about selling yourself all the time. You can actually create a lot of value in the Web 2.0 world by using these tools that really all you need is a web hosting account that's maybe $10 a month and a couple of hours to set up the content management system, and the rest is all elbow grease, as they say.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me what you're saying is that it's pretty important for an author in this day and age to be somewhat internet savvy.
Definitely.
Yeah, or at least willing to learn.
Yeah.
The other thing to remember is try not to spread yourself too thin. I mean, there are such a huge volume of these things that you can't really spend 3 hours a day on Facebook and 3 hours a day on this site and 3 hours a day on another site. You've really got to define the world that you're going to create and stick to it.
Mm-hmm. Don't get sidetracked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the importance you had asked about the website, this is the storefront. And unfortunately, a lot of authors don't have websites. They don't even have blogs. They have nothing, no presence on the Internet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really important that they do have presence on the Internet. And websites do not have to be expensive websites. There are many companies that will provide them something with a template. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but at least it's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, you know, on the web.
On the web, even a blog, a simple blog.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that presence, it's that storefront.
Well, now Amazon has kind of taken up on that, and I know there's a number of authors that don't have a personal website, but they use that kind of web type of a function that Amazon has, where they can have an Amazon blog and a picture and bio and even connect with readers that way. How do you feel, the two of you feel about that kind of a storefront?
Well, I encourage everyone to open an Amazon Connect account because it costs nothing, and you can actually connect your own blog that you already have and funnel it into Amazon so that when someone searches for your book on Amazon, up come the last four blog postings. So it doesn't mean sacrificing or having to give anything up. So, and it makes you much more of a real person instead of an abstract name, you know, next to the title of the book. People get to see more of who you are, and as they, hopefully they will like you more once they know more about you and your message. But Amazon is rolling out an upgraded version of this called the Amazon Authors, which offers more discussion forums in which the author, I guess, is supposed to be a moderator, and questions that people answer then become available for everyone to see. They have only rolled it out to an exclusive number of authors right now, some of whom are dead, including Dante Alighieri, who died 400 years ago, but he's got his own Amazon Authors page, so good for him.
So I know, Victor, you've done a lot of work with ebooks and with Kindle. What's happening with Kindle these days, and is that a really good avenue for authors to pursue?
It is exploding, I'll tell you. It's been difficult to get the figures out of Amazon about sales because they're somewhat secretive, but based on the unit costs and so on, people have figured out there's more or less 100,000 of these ebook readers in use. And you got to figure each person who's bought an ebook reader is going to buy at least four or five ebooks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's an opportunity there for 500,000 sales, and that's just barely getting started in terms of, you know, the tip of the iceberg. And in terms of content, I believe the latest figure is 130,000 titles, and they're adding about 3,000 plus titles per week. And that's another thing which costs you nothing if you're a self-published author. You can upload your manuscript into Kindle, and with maybe 4 or 5 hours worth of tweaking, you can get a pretty good ebook out of it. Now, bear in mind, if you have signed a contract with some other publisher, you've probably given up your ebook rights in the fine print. So you do need to check, and we've seen it a couple of times where people have accidentally stepped on the rights of their publishers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you brought that up because that is important to check into before converting into an ebook.
Check with the publisher.
Or even audiobook. Yeah.
Or audio, anything. That's right. Check that fine print of the contract.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that is on the CD. We did interview an author that talked about the fine print and the legal aspects of contracts. So.
Well, I mean, and there's a whole completely new topic really right there with signing contracts. So you are covering that in this book?
Not in the book, but we do have it on the CD. We did interview an author who's also an attorney, too.
What are some of the common stories you hear regarding people signing contracts and not realizing what they've signed until they get themselves into a little trouble?
Well, I think the biggest one is not really understanding what the contract is and giving away all rights.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so it's really important to look at the contract and just, you know, look at it and say, what's in it for me? Because quite often it could be there's nothing in it for you. And, Victor, I think you can probably comment more so on that, being as a publisher, what really, you know, works for both, on both sides, for you, the publisher, and also for the author.
Yeah, I do a number of, you know, second editions or revised editions for people who are basically refugees from some other publishing company. And one thing I see quite commonly is that the publisher will ask for all worldwide rights right off the bat, even though they have no intention of exploiting those rights. I feel ethically that I shouldn't ask for any rights that I'm not going to use. So I'll put in, you know, this book is being licensed to be published in the USA, Canada, and Europe, and maybe Australia. But any territories I don't mention devolve back to the author. So that's a way of empowering the author. Another thing you want to think about is, well, if it's a fiction book, do you still have all the rights for screen treatments and so on? Foreign rights sales can be quite a nice little Easter egg for the author if the author is willing to pursue that. And if you still have, you know, the rights to pursue maybe an edition in, you know, China or Asia in particular, then you might be able to do that, unless the contract says that you can't.
Mm-hmm. So even the small press publishers out there will have heavy-handed contracts like that?
Yeah, I'll see. And actually, ironically, the shorter the contract is, it seems like the more they're asking for.
Oh, really?
But some of the shortest contracts I've seen have given away the most rights, including, you know, things that you wouldn't think of, like T-shirt merchandising and stuff like that.
So why would someone self-publish as opposed to going with a small press or a publisher like yourself?
Well, that's a good question. It depends. There's a whole, you know, process of getting your manuscript sold, and it can take time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in a hurry, like you want to have your book out in 4 or 5 months, probably you're going to have to do it yourself. But if you're looking at a longer time horizon, maybe you've got a series of 3 or 4 or 5 books planned, then you have the time and the latitude to send out the manuscripts and wait for some of the rejections to come in.
Mm-hmm, which inevitably will.
Right. So time is one consideration. Another consideration is the royalties that you receive from a traditional publisher are never going to be as good as what you can get self-publishing. However, once you go down the road of self-publishing, it's a business that never ends. So you may never get to write book two because every day you're handling the mundane business of promoting and managing the affairs of book number one. So if you're a creative person, you may find yourself stifled at that point or frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have no one to blame but yourself if it doesn't go well.
Yeah, right.
So there's pros and cons, and there's no pat answer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, now I'd like to move into book reviews because, Irene, this is kind of your area of expertise. And, you know, I don't think a lot of authors really realize, at least this is what I hear, the importance of book reviews. So can you talk a little bit to that?
Yes, of course. Basically, what book reviews are is they're opinions that are given to potential readers. It gives credibility for the book. Really, it's important for them to get reviews so that they can present these reviews to potential readers. Potential readers quite often go to places like Amazon or some other online bookstore to look at the reviews, to really see what is going on. Is this a book that they want to read? And they're valuing other people's opinions. And also, what I would like to say at this time of the importance of attempting to get pre-publication reviews, because there's an advantage to that by having an endorsement in the back of your book. When you start getting reviews at the time of a manuscript or an advance review copy, which should be at least 4 to 6 months prior to actual publication, you will have advance reviews and endorsements to put in the back of the book. You will have these reviews and endorsements to use for your publicity and marketing at the time that the book comes out. But also, there's, you know, it's really good to get reviews after the book is published, too, because then it gives more credibility, more reviews, more information to potential readers. There are services that will only review books that are in a pre-publication stage. There are others that will review after publication only. So the author has to look for that. But basically, the bottom line is it gives credibility.
Mm-hmm. And so what avenues are there for book reviews? I mean, I know there's book review services like you have with Reader Views, but what other places can authors find book reviews, book people to review?
Well, there are, for instance, just recently, or within the last year, I believe it is, a place like LibraryThing.com, the publishers or authors can put their books on there, and there are reviewers that will get the books from the publishers and authors and post the reviews. So there's one place to, you know, put your book and get the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, Amazon itself. You can, anybody can put a review on Amazon. So there are a lot of places and there are a lot of services like us that do give reviews.
Now, is it the authors doing to give advanced copies maybe to peers to get reviews?
That's another thing, yes. That and it's usually the fault and the responsibility of the author to get to reviews.
Mm.
I know that Victor, he gets some reviews for his publishers, but not all publishers do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, Victor, how do you feel book reviews? How important do you feel they are?
Yeah, it's absolutely important. I actually tried to donate a copy of my first book, Beyond Trauma, to our humble public library system, and I said, well, if there isn't a published review, we don't want it.
Really?
And I talk about a reality check. But I employ a number of methods, one of which is to look for the prominent Amazon reviewers who are reviewing books in your genre, and they'll often be flattered if you ask them to review a book that's similar to one they've already reviewed. Or you can go look for blogs in Technorati or some other blog directory, and most bloggers are still pretty happy to have someone ask them if they want a free copy of a book. So
mm-hmm.
I'd go for, you know, look for those non-traditional sources, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that says something for, Victor just mentioned bloggers. You know, this is the reading audience, and it's really important for the authors to actually get an opinion from the reading audience rather than, let's say, something like Publishers Weekly. Because although, yes, it gives a lot of credibility to have a Publishers Weekly review, but also it's very important to have the reading audience give a review, too.
Mm-hmm. Good
and
point.
Bloggers, that's a really good point. And there are I'm sure that there are bloggers going up daily that are requesting free books for review.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, the more you can get out there on the web, the better it is, because all the spidering and so on, and, you know, somebody's looking, typing in your name or the book, and all these reviews can come up.
So you can't have too many book reviews, basically.
Basically, that's about it.
I'd like to have that problem.
Yeah, right. So, you know, we're kind of coming to an end here with time, but was there any other resources or information that you wanted to leave with our audience with today, both of you, either of you?
I would say if you're interested in how the publishing process works, you should take a look at Yahoo Groups and look for the group called Self-Publishing. That's literally the name of it. And every day there's maybe 20 to 40 messages, just question and answer of, you know, hey, what does a copyright mean, or how do I get a review, or what's the right price to pay for a book cover, and basic questions like that. You can get answered mostly politely on self-publishing at Yahoo Groups, so that's just a great resource.
Mm-hmm.
Another one I'd recommend for anyone who's published a book or on their way is called helpareporter.com, and that provides a free update 3 times a day from various people in the media who are looking for experts to comment or provide tips or provide, you know, backup references for articles that they're working on, and that's a free service.
Oh, wow.
Basically, it just boils down to research and setting aside some time and putting in the effort to getting on the Internet and doing research.
And I imagine connecting with other people and getting references. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Of course. You know, word of mouth
mm-hmm.
says a lot. And if somebody has had a good experience, they're going to tell a lot another person about it. And that's how it works.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You two are so full of information. Both of you, really, how many years together doing this? Amazing. Amazing. So authorsaccess.com is where we can go to pick up the book. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right. If you order directly from there, you'll get the podcast CD at no extra charge.
Okay. And that's where your podcasts are, so people can go. How often do you have the Internet radio program? Once a month?
We interview twice a month. We actually used to do it every week.
Okay.
Then we changed it to twice a month.
Mm.
But back to that CD, just a reminder, there are 75 interviews on there, and like Victor said, 40 hours.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a great deal, really.
It really is, because there's some really great experts on there.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming on the program today. This has been great.
Well, thank you, Juanita, for having us.
Yeah, this is a rare treat. Usually I'm behind the scenes.
I know. You did great. Thank you so much, the two of you, Victor Volkman and Irene Watson. You guys take care.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Thank you.
All right, listeners, as mentioned, that's Irene Watson and Victor Volkman. Their book, Authors Access, 30 Success Secrets for Authors and Publishers, is out now. It is out on Modern History Press, and they are co-editors, and I just encourage you to go to authorsaccess.com and have a look at this book, their podcasts, and don't forget about that compilation CD that comes with it with 40 hours. I mean, that's incredible. So I just want to thank you for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.